There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. And it's time to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And last time we were talking precious metals, the great deals on precious metals, and the reason precious metals are back in the news big time right now. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
Going good. So, yeah, what's up with gold and silver?
They've actually sort of stabilized a little bit. Silver is hovering right around $17 an ounce. Gold is just over $1,500 an ounce. And that is a big jump from what it's been for the last several years.
Okay. So, and then I want to get in the nuance between gold and silver in a second. But they're moving in the right direction. And also, when people think about precious metals, there's two ways to buy, well, there may be more than that. But there's one way to come in and just, we're buying just gold and silver, buying it in bulk. But y'all also have the kind of, the extra factor of collectability. You have the rounds and the coins that not only have the actual value in gold and silver, but the artwork and the rarity.
We do. We have a lot of what we always call the cool or the pop culture things. I mean, everything from Star Wars to John Wick to Trump, all sorts of one-ounce silver rounds with cool designs on them. And a lot of people want to start collecting gold and silver and hedging against inflation and things like that. They want to get their kids and grandkids into it, too. You hand a kid something boring, they're going to care less about it. You hand them something with the White House on it or an elephant on it or John Wick or something like that, they're going to get really excited.
All right. And back to the gold and silver, you've told me this over the years, but I want people to hear this. The reason you directed me to get into silver years ago, why is that?
Because if you would have bought and sold at the right times during the last run-up, you would have more than tripled your money on silver. If you would have bought the same amount of gold, you know, dollar for dollar, you would have been about 1.6 times ahead. But, you know, as you and I know, you know, three hamburgers is much better than one and a half.
That's for sure, Wimpy. That's for sure.
Exactly.
All right. So, and remind folks, too, great gift ideas or looking for a gift for somebody, birthday parties, anniversaries, those kind of things. You got that.
We have lots of stuff, everything from the jewelry to the engravable silver pieces that you can customize and personalize with a message to, of course, your favorite and my favorite, the Open L pocket knives.
All right. Give people directions to come check y'all out.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always check us out online. Just go to mobilebaycoins.com or check out some of the new items and follow us on Facebook.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good weekend, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. It is also it's a Friday. And we can start this in a second. We can start. We haven't done an extended 6.5 stories.
Mm-hmm.
In quite some time, so maybe today is the day. Let's see, what does the band think? Is it? That's cool. We'll do it for the hour. 6.5 stories.
Sounds like the band's ready to roll.
We've got. Did you that story from the Twitter feed that I put up? Did you grab that one?
Which one is that?
The one about meth.
I did not.
Okay,
I left that to the expert, and that would be you.
Okay, I'll leave that. I'll just leave that be. Yeah. That story. Y'all can find that on my Twitter feed. I really don't want to talk about it on the radio.
I think we should. If we, you know, if we can get to that at the end of 6.5, maybe we should.
Are you setting a trap for me? Because you'll do this to tempt me into doing a story I should not do on the radio.
I've got all kinds of takes about that story.
All right, 6.5 stories. If we get through it, we will get Dalton's take on the hidden meth story from the Twitter feed. If y'all are new to this, 6.5 stories is what?
It's when I look around on the internet at the end of the work week and try to find some interesting or, you know, wacky stories that we missed throughout the week on Mobile Mornings and Midday Mobile. Stuff we weren't able to talk about. And, you know, I actually often, and I enjoy it, people send stories for me to use for 6.5 stories. And I love that people do that.
Right.
But then I never use them. And the point of that is I'm trying to find stuff that maybe you haven't heard about at all. And if you're sending me the stories, then clearly other people have heard about some of these stories.
Correct.
So I try to find stuff that you probably haven't even read throughout the week. And we start this week.
For good reason.
And we start this week up in New Jersey, on the Jersey Shore, where apparently they got a pretty mean seagull problem on the Jersey Shore. And I'm not talking about JWoww. It's a little Jersey Shore MTV humor.
JWoww.
I don't know. She kind of looks like a bird a little bit if you look at her. She was on the show Jersey Shore.
Okay.
But this seagull problem, I'm talking about the actual birds, now they're turning to the experts to solve it up in Jersey. Here's the headline from NJ.com.
Okay.
Dive bombing falcons and owls hired to scare off Jersey Shore seagulls at $2,100 a day. They're saying, go ahead. Questions?
They're just not having wild birds of prey come in. They're sourcing this out.
Some assassins, paid assassins.
So you got some falconers there.
That's right. And it's the first, I guess, some West Coast over on the Pacific Ocean side. They've been doing this in some of those cities over there. But this is the first time on the East Coast that they are bringing in the falcons and owls. Ocean City, they said, has hired this company, East Coast Falcons, for bird abatement.
Mm-hmm.
And abatement, the process of using trained falcons, owls, and hawks to thwart the seagulls from taking the food of beachgoers and people that are strolling along the boardwalk.
From snatching fries.
That's right. And it comes at a cost, I mentioned it earlier, $2,100 a day that Ocean City will pay.
Per bird of prey or for the whole lot of them?
For the whole lot of them through the day. And this will go through Labor Day. They say it could be renewed next year if this works. The mayor, Jay Gillian, said that he's been watching for the last few years.
Yes.
I don't know if he uses one of those where you put a quarter in and then look through the binoculars there. But he said he saw seagulls dive bomb a child in a baby carriage and cut the kid's face. He said that instance was the final incident that finally prompted him to take this step. He said seagulls have been stealing food. It's nothing new. Over time, they've been getting more aggressive. It reached the point where we can't eat on the boardwalk or beach without birds flying at your hands or face. It's truly become a safety hazard. So they're hiring 7 birds.
Okay.
That works out. If each of the birds works every day, out to about $300 a bird. They began working last weekend. They're going to patrol the entire island, they say, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. If you're wondering how they're going to work this out, the falcon will be used during the day. Then the hawks get the afternoon shift.
Oh, we know who gets the night shift.
The owls. That's right. They said the birds will be flying along the boardwalk, with the goal being to reduce the number of seagulls in the area in a humane way. They added in a humane way. So I don't know.
Wait. The birds of prey are going to deal with them in a humane way?
They said that they're just going to scare them.
Do they know how a hawk or a falcon or an owl acquires either the critter on the ground or the critter in the air? Have they seen that before?
I think kind of like when Russia buzzes our airspace, I guess they're planning on these birds to buzz and let these seagulls know who's boss.
And not to just do what they're supposed to do and put their talons in the thing that they're going to eat?
I think they might have sanitized this for the news story.
Because I'll just tell you what really happens. You want to know what really happens?
Yeah. Well, you say that in New Jersey, then you'll have PETA showing up like, you can't have falcons.
Doing what they're supposed to be doing anyway.
Doing what they're supposed to do. Okay. East Coast Falconer, Eric Swanson.
Right.
Also an animal control officer.
Eastside.
And a nuisance wildlife control operator. He said that East Coast Falcons professionals fly trained falcons, hawks, and owls 2,000 to 3,000 feet over massive areas to scare, harass, and remove pest birds humanely.
I'm air quoting here, y'all. Remove.
I wonder if they'll have like those, police in a lot of summer, spring break areas. They've got like the zip ties as backup in case they use up their cuffs.
Right.
I wonder if these birds are going to have zip ties and just kind of zip tie the seagulls up there in the air.
Have you ever watched a falcon work?
No, I haven't.
Man, it's just amazing.
I take that back.
To hunt rabbits or birds with them and stuff like that, and they have them trained. They got this relationship where it sits perched, and then they can release it, and the game is scared up, and they go after it.
I haven't.
It's amazing.
I haven't seen them do any hunting. have seen a Falconer at work at the Air Force Academy.
Well, that's what the whole purpose of it is, though, is to go get them some dinner. And I don't mean the Hawk or Falcon. I mean the Falconer. All right, coming right back, 6.5 story with Dalton Norwig. Here we go, folks. It's a Friday.
Time.
All right, welcome back. It's a Friday. It's Midday Mobile. That must mean it's time for 6.5 stories. For Dalton Norwig, all that stuff on the web I missed. Just one story in with our bird talk.
Yeah, and we're going to continue that bird talk.
More bird talk.
Story number two, also about birds. Scientists in New Zealand this week published their analysis of some bird fossils that have been sitting in storage for more than a decade now. They believed initially that those bones were the remains of an ancient eagle, but now scientists have determined exactly what this bird was, and they're calling it Squawkzilla the parrot. Its scientific name, Heracles inexpectatus, Tatus. I don't know where you go with that one, Tatus or Tatus. They said it was discovered by scientists in New Zealand at about 3 feet tall. The bird would probably have stood nearly as tall as the average American four-year-old.
Wow. So a macaw these days is about, what's a macaw, about a foot tall, foot and a half maybe?
Right now the...
They're like big parrots, the macaws.
The biggest parrot in the game right now.
Yeah, the game.
Kakapo, and that is New Zealand's biggest current parrot. And it is alive right now.
That's the name of the species of parrot.
Yeah, and it's endangered also. It's 15 pounds. They said that this. Let's see. Scientists have been finding enormous prehistoric birds for years. This one still shocked them. The largest parrot ever known to have walked the earth, and they think it might have even preyed on other parrots.
Sure,
that's how big Squawkzilla was.
Parrotivore.
Okay, so Squawkzilla was an estimated 15 pounds. That's double the weight of the endangered Kakapo, which is currently New Zealand's biggest parrot. These fossils were dug up back in 2008 there in New Zealand in a massive fossil deposit that was once a prehistoric lake. And paleontologists go out there every single year to collect bones. One of those paleontologists, Michael Archer, he said, "My guess is at the best of times, you could barely see this lake for all of the birds that were sitting on it." The bird probably lived during the early Miocene, which was about 23 million to 16 million years ago. And researchers concluded that the bird probably couldn't fly and consumed what was along the ground and easy to reach, like berries, nuts, and seeds. And, you know, got to watch your nuts around the giant parrot back there in the Miocene area. They also say it's possible the bird had more carnivorous ways. They've got this other parrot in New Zealand, the ki, which has been known to attack and subsequently munch upon living sheep if they're stuck in the snow. So they'll go after sheep and other animals that are stuck. They can also dig up seabirds from their burrows and eat the chicks. And they also said this
Hollywood
Heracles
carcass.
They said Heracles won't be the final unforeseen fossil from the area. Archer said the team has also found evidence of long extinct bats, crocodiles, and other birds in New Zealand. But now you know, back in the day, there was a 15-pound, 3-feet-tall parrot roaming and eating other parrots and birds.
Yeah, but New Zealand, you know, it's interesting. You get these islands where without influence of outside land masses, the way things developed. Obviously the Galapagos is a study for that. But New Zealand has a lot of flightless birds. Didn't have the great, what were they, the auks? They have the kiwi, obviously. That's their, I mean, people call them kiwis. Kiwis are a flightless bird, but they had like, I think they were called auks, A-U-K.
Mm.
Auks, and they were like big, and then the Maori people, the native people of New Zealand, killed them to some degree because they were big flightless birds. And then when the Europeans showed up, they're like, dude, look here, whap, that'll eat.
And you know, New Zealand, they control what comes in and out of the country so tightly. The most crazy fact to me is that you've got all these poisonous snakes and spiders in Australia. Not one in New
That's
Zealand.
Right.
They keep the poisonous ones out.
Although they brought lots of other stuff in New Zealand. They got all kind of critters there from Europe and North America and all that stuff. They didn't have any big mammals there, and the Europeans wanted to see big mammals, so they brought them in.
As they, you know, we've seen, they're trying to bring back some of these old dinosaurs.
Right.
They talked about bringing back the woolly mammoth.
Oh, yeah, there was a mosquito and a piece of amber and in this research, and then they got the blood out of it and then created all these dinosaurs. Oh, that was a movie.
Was that a movie?
Okay.
Right. They made like five or six of those movies. But yeah, I'd like to see this parrot on a pirate's shoulder. Talk about scary. A 3 foot tall, 15 pound
parrot. Dislocate your shoulder.
All right, story number three here. And this brings, I know it's one of my favorite times of year when this list comes out, mm-hmm. not just because football is starting, and maybe that's why they put this list out around this time of year, but the top 19 in this case, the top 19 beer sales, top 19 beer brand sales over the course of the year.
Okay, by volume.
You want me to start lower or start at the top of the list?
Start at the bottom and go up.
All right, we'll start at the bottom and go up. With a 3% change from last year, 3% drop, Blue Moon, currently number 19 on the beer sales list. They only sold $271 million worth of Blue Moon last year. Can you believe that? That's only $271 million. Just above Blue Moon, can't call this an underground beer anymore, Pabst Blue Ribbon made $288 million.
Yeah, and they did that in volume because the price point a little lower.
Exactly. Number 17 here, the beer from Pennsylvania, Yingling.
Yes.
They made $301 million in sales. Number 16, tell me if you've seen this one lately, Bud Ice.
We were talking about that the other day, although one of my buddies and I from back when we were younger men, Bud Ice.
Bud Ice.
I didn't know it still existed.
No, and I didn't know, even if it did exist, that it's
sitting on the shelves right next to Red Dog.
Yeah, $317 million in sales for Bud Ice.
Where are they selling Bud Ice?
I don't know. Dos Equis, 15. Stella Artois, 14. Miller High Life, not very high on the list. They sit number 13. $433 million in sales. Most of these have actually dropped in sales. I'll get up to a couple that had major improvements year over year, but I'm thinking the craft beer market took a lot out of all these. Keystone Light, number 12. Busch, number 11. Heineken 10. Busch Light, outselling normal Busch. That's at number 9.
People watching their figures, man.
Right. Natty Light, of course, by its full name, Natural Light.
Or Financial Light.
They're the first on this list to crack $1 billion in sales for last year. Corona Extra, one of my favorites. They're number 7. Budweiser, the full-bodied one,
the
number
king.
6. Modelo Especial, number 5. Miller Lite, number 4, at $2 billion in sales. Then you go up Michelob Ultra, a 15% increase in year-to-year sales. They sit at number 3 in the list.
Mm-hmm.
Coors Light, number 2.
Yeah.
And you can guess what number 1 is.
It should be Coors Light.
It's not. It's Bud Light.
It should be Coors Light.
Bud Light, $5.2 billion in sales last year. Number 2, Coors Light, had $2.2 billion. So Bud Light more than double the number 2 beer.
Wait. That big of a gap between 1 and 2?
It's that big. Yeah, Bud Light at $5.2 billion. Sorry, I said million. $1 billion.
I was following. I was sticking with the B's. Once we crossed the billion, mm-hmm. we went up.
Coors Light, $2.2 billion. So less than half of what Bud Light sold. Mick Ultra, $2 billion.
That's wow.
And Miller Light, $2 billion. And all the rest fall under $2 billion. But again, your reigning champion, Bud Light. And remember in the Super Bowl last year, we started to see the beginning of the beer wars where they were mentioning each other in ads. And I think Bud Light was saying these other ones are made with corn syrup and that kind of fizzled out. But Bud Light, still the king of beers, even though their older brother, Budweiser, uses that as the name.
I've contributed to the sales of 17 of the 19. I'm trying to be
I spend money with all of them too, so there you go. If anyone needs any beer trivia for this weekend, that's the sales.
Okay, the beer, the number people need to walk around with, number one, Bud Light, $5.2 billion
in sales last year, and that's a 5.7% drop from 2017.
What's the gross domestic product of Argentina? You just do your part. I'll work
on
that.
And if you want to put this number in the mix, they said the total beer sales, and I don't know if this is just for their list or if it includes craft beer also, but $36 billion in beer sales last year, and that's 2.5% higher than the year prior.
Wow.
Yeah. We Americans buy a lot of beer.
Yeah, we do.
Especially during this time of year when tailgating gets kicked off.
Roll Tide.
All right. It is time for the Florida Man story of the week.
Thank goodness.
And the magic word for this story is patience. Something that this Florida man and a lot of other Florida men apparently do not have.
Okay.
This comes from Bradenton, Florida.
Yeah.
Authorities say a 55-year-old Florida man pulled a gun on a late-arriving furniture delivery team, saying that he has, quote, shot people for less. Manatee County Sheriff's investigators say that Mitchell Helton is now charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault. He was arrested August 3rd after his furniture delivery team called the sheriff's office – You know it's not good. Right. You got to call the sheriff. The Bradenton Herald reported that the delivery men called Helton to let him know that they were on their way. When they arrived at his home, they say Helton was upset because it took them so long to arrive. Then as they unloaded the furniture, which is there in the job description of furniture delivery men, deputies say Helton pointed a gun at them. The men tried to de-escalate the situation. They probably put a couch or two between them and Helton also. And then they told him he should just file a complaint with their company.
Yeah, usually that's what happens to avoid the gunplay, just file something with their boss.
That's what most people would do. They went, and when they arrested Helton, they asked him, you know, why he did this, and the arrest report says that he could not explain why he confronted the men with a gun.
I hate that, because I was really wanting to hear the explanation.
I think maybe he was having a bad day, and so that's why he pulled a gun on him. But don't do that. If somebody's running late, just file a complaint with the company. You don't got to pull a gun on them.
Well, you don't, yes, obviously. But what people do is they'll feel like they're going to file a complaint. It's not going to do any good. But one of the beauties of social media is you take to social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just tag them and talk about it there.
Yeah.
We go from Florida man to Florida boy for this story. And this Florida boy, child, didn't do anything too bad, but he did unknowingly break the law. And now police are using him as an example. Okay, so 5-year-old Manuel Bashara, okay. He called 911 Friday night, told the dispatcher that he was hungry and wanted to order a pizza. Mm-hmm. That's according to the Sanford Police Department Facebook post they put up this week. They dispatched officers to the home just in case a well-being check was needed. Mm-hmm. They found Manuel and his 15-year-old sister, who I guess was babysitting. She explained that they were fine and that Manuel had grabbed the phone without her knowledge. The officers decided to use this moment to explain to the boy about the proper use of 911. Then they went ahead and ordered a large pizza and personally delivered it to Manuel.
Oh, cool.
They did put a disclaimer on their Facebook post, hashtag don't call 911 for delivery.
There you go. Wise words. And Manuel had to say, what? Fire trucks are red! Be right back. More 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwick right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Look no further than the text line. You'll see where you can get Bud Ice and the prices per...
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, the Bud Ice hotline. There, 135 FM Talk 106.5. It is 6.5 stories with that man right there, Dalton Orwick. We're where on this?
We are at story number 6.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never had Bud Ice. Is it closer to Bud Light
or
Budweiser?
You've never had Bud Ice?
No. That's the final Bud that I've not had.
Show's over in 26 minutes here. We're going to go... Go get some Bud Ice. We'll get one for you, one for me. We'll sit in the studio and do the rest of our work this afternoon with Bud Ice.
Hey, I'm
so Friday.
Not complaining
so
about
Friday.
That.
Is that okay?
It does sound like something I would have bought in college.
That's when I bought, yes.
Instead, I was buying the Natty Lights and the Keystone Lights. And
Meister Brow?
No, I've never had Meister Brow.
No, Milwaukee's Best?
I did have Milwaukee's Best and Steel Reserve, too.
I have never had Steel Reserve.
And Colt 45.
Yes, I have had
all,
Colt
all of the above. Yes. Well, I bring up the college drinking because, you know, in college, most people have roommates they've never met before. You're kind of just paired off.
Right.
That's not the only time. If you go on to live in somewhere where you want to split the cost after college or before college, whenever, and you end up with a roommate you don't know very well, you get to know them pretty well, pretty quickly after living with them. And BuzzFeed.com, usually one of the worst websites on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't like most of the stuff they put up, but occasionally their unpaid college interns come up with something funny. And this week they asked the internet to post stories of weird things that their roommates have done that are not okay. And I thought I'd read a few of these to you because some of them had me chuckling. Some of them I was like, wow, you can't be serious here. I know I've had some weird roommates in my day. Now that I'm married, I guess I've become the weird roommate. So here are some of the BuzzFeed worst roommates. Number one here, cleansing the room of demons. This person says, I walked in on a prayer group praying over my bed in my dorm during my freshman year. One of my roommates thought I was possessed by the devil and wanted to cleanse my side of the room.
really, what exactly had gone on in that bed?
I don't know, but apparently this person felt like their roommate needed, you know, to have the demons cleansed. Number two here, my boyfriend and I had fallen asleep on our couch in the living room during a movie and woke up to my roommate sitting in the armchair beside us with an actual axe while watching us sleep. They woke up to their roommate with an axe in their hand watching them sleep. This person said they caught their roommate washing the dishes in the bathtub while she was taking a bath.
That's efficient.
Two birds, one stone.
That's right. That's right.
Getting it all done at the same time. This one's maybe the grossest one here, okay? I came home to find my roommate on the couch with loads of different condiments like jam, peanut butter, ketchup, mayo, and more. As she dipped her toes and fingers into each jar, I packed my stuff quickly, left, and as soon as I had spoken to her, I never went back. So dipping the toes and fingers into—
Is that a thing?
I've never heard of it until
today. I've heard of a lot of things. I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing if you don't want a roommate. Just wait until they show up and start sticking your toes in the
condiments.
In the condiments.
I wouldn't have ever thought that one.
Here's another one watching their roommate sleep. Said it was the middle of the night and I was having a tough time sleeping. The lights were off in our room and my roommate walked in not knowing I was still awake. She closed the door behind her and just stared at me for about 20 minutes. I had many more tough nights of sleeping after that. You know that app Fruit Ninja? It was pretty big a while back. It's like a game you can play on your phone, and a bunch of fruit flies towards you, and you got to the fruit in half.
I don't.
This person says, one night I woke up to my roommates playing real-life Fruit Ninja.
Okay, that's some stuff that could have gone down at my house in Alabama.
Yeah, I'm sad that I didn't come up with this idea. I might even do it tonight. But their roommate was playing real-life Fruit Ninja with a giant knife in the living room of their apartment. This person said, I was going home for the weekend, and in retaliation for leaving her alone for a couple of days, my roommate urinated outside my bedroom door. Is this a dog? Upset that she left her alone for a couple days, so went to the bathroom outside of her room?
Well, is it just specifically the room or the outside?
They said right outside the bedroom door in the apartment.
Oh, like
in the apartment.
Okay,
not
I thought
in the
they were
bushes
outside.
Or anything.
Okay,
no,
right.
The apartment. I've accidentally done that before, but I meant no malice when that happened for me. This one, I came back early from class one day, and she was wearing my clothes and glasses. When I asked what she was doing, she replied she wanted to feel what it was like to be me.
And as an added bonus, the
clothes were dirty and about four sizes too small for her.
Oh, creepy.
You've got the stories of roommates eating old ramen that they found underneath their bed. That's pretty gross. One time, my one roommate was hanging a chicken to dry in our laundry room.
Sure, who doesn't do that?
And this other person said that she found a roommate sitting in the middle of a pentagram in their apartment. She said it was a science experiment.
Okay.
So get
out.
And I'll read
get out.
Two more here. These might be related. I once found my roommate sitting on the floor of her bedroom, legs crossed, eating raw bacon right out of the package. Says she was not—
Was alcohol involved in this?
She said she was not stoned or drunk, but eating raw bacon. And the final one here, I was living with three girls and I left for a week to stay with my boyfriend at the time. We ended up returning early only to find an actual potbelly pig living in the living room. Said it was one of the girls' brother's pet pig, had a leash and harness on. Needless to say, I moved out early and we didn't get our full deposit back. Now, some of
these— That's like the least strange.
Yeah, pet pig— They're basically dogs.
That's the least strange in this whole thing. I mean, we had the pentagram and we had the wearing the clothes, but then we
watching people sleep. I'd much rather have a domesticated potbelly pig.
There were walking into the squalor house I lived in Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama. There were always— you were not quite sure what you'd see upon opening the door. If I'd have seen a pig go running by,
dorm room probably.
I told you we had a cat that had showed up for like a couple weeks in this house. There'd be a cat. Sometimes I'd see the cat, sometimes I wouldn't. I finally talked to one of my roommates. I'm like, dude, who got a cat? They're like, we didn't get it. We thought you got it. And I said, no, I didn't get a cat. And the three of us all agreed nobody got the cat. Well, in the little laundry room, we had these old houses that whole neighborhood was taken out by the tornado. They bulldozed that whole neighborhood. But a knot had fallen out of one of the boards of these old houses and opened up to the underneath, and the cat from the neighborhood would come and go inside our house. It would come up through the floor and come in the house and like do stuff and walk around, lay on the couch, and then leave.
That's awesome.
So it wasn't a potbelly pig, but we had a random critter living in our house. Didn't belong to any of us.
But you adopted him because he made you adopt him.
So we just—
or did you get rid of him?
No, he just showed up. We put silver duct tape over the place in the floor.
My weird roommate story here happened at South when I was going to college at South. I had two roommates. One of them's my best friend to this day.
Okay.
The other one I did not like much at all, and he didn't like me either. But remember when the Jags had those Jag bikes go everywhere?
Yeah.
They bought bikes. Everybody could free use them until everyone stole all the bikes.
Right. Great
Just
experiment.
So happens the week before they came out with those Jag bikes, the roommate I did not like bought the exact same model of bike and was driving it around campus. After the Jag bike showed up, he decided to do his own, I guess, modifications to his bike
to make it look different.
So he was like cutting it up and buffing it and putting a new paint on it and everything right there in his bedroom in our apartment. So that's one of my weird roommate stories, the only one I can probably say on the air.
Oh, come on. People are like waiting for, I think I had a couple others, but
all right.
Potbelly. If I'd have come through into our house and there had been a potbelly, I'd have said, cool.
But tying
that's my man right there. What's your name, Potbelly Pig? We're at a party tonight.
Tying that into the raw bacon one, though, if you have your pet Potbelly Pig and roommates eating said Potbelly Pig there, on then it's time to move.
Now, there's a bunch of guys I was friends with, still friends with a lot of them, that we would have probably attempted to get the Potbelly Pig to eat bacon.
Oh, that's just cruel. That's cruel.
That probably would have happened.
All right, story number 6.5 here. It's where I give you half the story and you fill in the rest, or in the case today, it's a fill in the blank. This story comes from California. Got a 41-year-old man who has not spoken to his family in more than 4 years because he can't stand blank. What can this man not stand when he's around his family that has caused him to not speak for them, speak to them, or be with them in over 4 years?
But he called them.
No, he still hasn't talked to them.
He hadn't talked to them. Something happened.
He told the New York Post why he has not been around or with his family for more than 4 years. It's really odd. I know I left it wide open here, but why is he not? What bothers him so much that he can't hang out with his family?
What bothers him so much? I want to go eating raw bacon, but I will say their use of electronics.
No, and not really.
Not even close. Yeah.
41-year-old Daral Murphy from California says he has not been able to speak to his family in 4 years because small noises like the sound of chewing and throat clearing makes him, quote, fly into a rage. They call it misophonia, a mysterious condition in which people experience strong negative reactions to ordinary sounds like chewing or breathing. He said, I thought I was crazy for many years. Little noises would make me just fly into a rage. People don't understand it, and I can't explain it. It's affected relationships, especially people I've been dating and family members, because you take it out on the people closest to you. But he can't stand the sound of small noises.
Misophonia, that's your weekend word. Coming right back. 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
My buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio and talking about a subject that was big when we first started talking about it. But man, it is everywhere now, the discussion of these faulty 3M earplugs. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me here.
This is a story that affects so many people in our area. The number of veterans in our area of the Gulf Coast between Northwest Florida, Alabama, and Southeast Mississippi is of big volume. Big volume.
That's one of the beauties of this case is that I really don't have to go further than, you know, 100-mile radius or even my back door, basically, to represent clients in this litigation, because there are so many people that love our country and have served our country that are right here in our backyard. And I think it's so important to be able to meet with your lawyer, see your lawyer face-to-face. I mean, you can do things over the phone by email, but there's things that aren't communicated like that. And so that's the beauty of having us, you know, handle these cases. And we're actually on the leadership team now in the litigation that's centered in Pensacola. So we're thick in this case, and we're able to know the things that we need to know to represent these guys and ladies. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity, really.
Yeah, it's something as a Marine that you get to help out other members of the armed forces. But also, you mentioned the Pensacola part. so people don't get confused. You explained this to us last time. National case, but they've picked to hold this trial. This is happening right here in our backyard.
So this is what's called a multi-district litigation. It's just a fancy word for when there are lawsuits, individual suits that are filed all over the country. There's a federal procedural tool that says, hey, I don't want 30 or 50 different federal judges ruling on the same case and having inconsistent rulings. So we're going to send all the individual cases to one location under one judge. Same thing happened with BP, and it got sent to New Orleans. Judge Barbier there, Chinese drywall got sent to New Orleans, Judge Fallon there. This one got sent to, or has been sent to Pensacola, and Judge Casey Rogers is the judge there, and she's sharp as a tack, and she's going to be a great judge, we believe.
So you are on the leadership board in this?
Yes, I got appointed by Judge Rogers to the leadership team. I'm on, it sounds real fancy, it sounds like Joint Chiefs of Staff or something, and I was just a lowly enlisted Marine, but it's the Joint Armed Services Committee. So what we do is we handle any type of communications or document production between the head of the litigation, the plaintiff's side, and the government and the military. So that's sort of our role in it, is to be a liaison. And I like being an enlisted Marine, dealing with all these officers and bigwigs. And I say, how do you like dealing with a lowly enlisted guy?
You know, it's you mentioned the national scope of this, but what's important for people to understand, because I hear there, all this noise coming out of them, information coming out of them about this. The point is, you're taking cases, Ed. You're taking individual cases. This is not, like you mentioned, it's like BP. It's a big, big story, a lot of damages, a lot of people, but individuals are coming to you. It's not as a group. Like, that person comes to you and you're their attorney.
Yeah, I want to get that word out, because I'm hearing this on a consistent basis. Almost everyone I meet with says that, yeah, I've seen those ads or and heard some radio spots, and it sounds like one of those mini class actions where the person at the end of the day, 5 years down the road, gets like $50, and it's really not even worth their while to even get involved in it. And so this is not a class action. I explained that to them. I explained what it is. It's multi-district litigation. Everybody has their own individual case, and it's going to be much more substantial than what you would see from a class action, where, like, let's say a cellular phone company charges $2 a month on somebody's bill, on everybody's bill in the nation, make a bunch of money on it, and you have damages of $30 or something like that. It's not going to be worth most people's time to even really bother with that. And I throw those things away and ignore those ads on TV as well. But this is much different. And plus, it's got a moral and ethical side about making sure that a company that wants to profit by selling the military certain goods, a safety product, and making sure that company knows that if they're going to manufacture a safety product, it's got to work, and it cannot put our troops in harm's way. And these earplugs, we have the documentation. It's out there. You can find it online right now. 3M knew that the earplugs didn't work. They were essentially worthless, and they sold these things to the government, didn't tell the government about this to such an extent that it was deceitful, that the government had a criminal investigation against 3M and also sued 3M for fraud. That's how all this came out, is when the government sued 3M for fraud, and 3M agreed to pay $9.1 million for defrauding the government. That's when this all came out. But, folks like us, like myself, said, hey, well, what about the boots on the ground? What about the Marines and the guys in the Army, all the branches that wore these, the individual soldiers and troops that were handed these earplugs?
Issued them. Issued them. This is what they had to wear.
Yes, they were issued them by the government. So it's almost as if 3M, put them in their hand and said, wear these earplugs, and then, looked away and winked and said, guess what? The earplugs don't work and we don't care. And there were plenty of other earplugs out there that worked. I mean, just the plain old no frills earplug that you squish up and stick in your ear. Well, that sucker provides over 30 decibels of noise reduction. These 3M earplugs, the yellow side, their own tests show they provided zero noise reduction. The green side, which was the better side, only provided 10.9 decibels of noise reduction versus the old school plain Jane, when you stick in your ear and you get 30, 35 decibels of noise reduction. So the troops that I talk to, and I tell them these things, they are shaking their head in disgust. Because they know the conditions that they have, that they can't hear. They have constant ringing in their ear. It drives them crazy. And this company knowingly sold bad earplugs that caused that. Now, how do we know that? Okay, so I'm a lawyer. You got to prove certain things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard other lawyers handling these cases that say, hey, we only want vets that joined after the earplugs were first issued, because no telling what they went through noise wise before the earplugs were issued. So I've got a much different opinion about that. And what I'm seeing is the guys and the ladies that were in for 10, 15 years before these earplugs were issued, they're doing rifle range yearly qualification. I even have, one Marine that was in 6 combat missions before these earplugs were issued. And his hearing after 6 combat missions wearing plain old Jane earplugs was fine. I've got the audiograms to show that. But then for some strange reason, and I'm being facetious here, when the earplugs were issued back in 2002 and 2003, his hearing per the audiogram test just went to junk, basically, and there's no coincidence there. And that's not just one person I'm seeing this with. If I have a client that has been in the military for 10, 15, whatever years before the earplugs were issued, I'm taking a strong note of that, and I'm eagerly looking and analyzing their audiograms, and I'm finding a definite huge trend that their hearing was fine when they were wearing their old school earplugs, but when these fancy earplugs by 3M got put in their hands and that's what they had to wear, well, their hearing was destroyed or damaged.
Yeah, I can hear it. Everybody can hear it in your voice. I've known you a long time. You're a passionate advocate for all your clients, but when it comes to members of the military, there's an extra part of this to it.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 21 years, practicing law, and it can be a stressful practice. And my wife asked me every day, just like a lot of wives ask, and I ask her as well, how was your day? And since I've been doing this, I get to meet with several vets every day and offer my services, offer my help to them. And I look at their records, and not a single one of them brag about any of their records of what they did. I mean, I'm talking about Purple Hearts, and Silver Stars and all sorts of things for acts of bravery that they've done. And I get to go home knowing that I'm representing people that literally put their blood on the battlefield, put their lives on the line, save the lives of other people. And yeah, I get fired up about that.
And that's why you've got to have somebody who takes your individual case, your individual situation, and understands it. So somebody listening to us right now that fits the parameters of this time frame, that has been serving our military, had those earplugs, or even somebody who knows somebody, a loved one, how they get in touch? How do they get you to meet with that member of the military and find out more about their situation?
To get in touch with me at my law firm here in Mobile, all you do is Google Taylor Martino Law Firm, Mobile, Alabama, and you'll find our information.
All right, Ed, thank you.
Thank you.
Ed Round with Taylor Martino, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.